This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The story of St. Matthew the Apostle is about to begin. A man was bidding farewell to two friends in the city of Jerusalem.
So, as soon as the sun goes down and the horses are ready, I go. Do I look the part of a merchant, Peter?
I should take you for a merchant, Matthew. Outwardly, there's nothing about you to betray the disciple. You should reach the seacoast in safety.
I shall be glad to be on my way. My work here is done, since I have finished writing my account of the Lord's life. You have that parchment?
It is in a safe place. When the fever of persecution dies down a little, it can be brought forth and copied.
Well, Matthew, let me fix the hem of your sleeve. You have a little tear there. You know your disguise would not be perfect. A prosperous merchant would be sure to have his clothes well in order.
Trust a woman's sharp eye to see so small a matter. But it is well. Small things may spoil a disguise. Our sister Mary's are not the only observing eyes in the world.
There. That's much better. Matthew, have you thought of what part of Africa you will first see?
I've thought very little about it. Go, he said, and teach all nations. Wherever I go, I shall be fulfilling that command. Wherever I go, I shall know that he is with me, as he promised, and I shall trust him to lead me where the need for my teaching is greatest.
Are your bags completely packed?
Yes. They're ready, packed with fabrics such as any merchant might carry. There is nothing more to do until the boy brings the horses.
Nothing more to do but to say a final goodbye.
Yes, a sad goodbye.
Have you thought, my friend, that soon there will be none of us left in the city which we have loved? The city in which we have witnessed the greatest miracle of all time?
Yes. And very shortly, we must all be gone. If we would live to fulfill the trust he left us, to make him known to all mankind. And to think that 10 years ago, Andrew and I were simple fishermen, living placid lives remote from the world. Today, I am Peter, the rock upon which rests the future of his church. Peter, who once betrayed him.
And 10 years ago, I was Levi the publican, outcast of my fellows, hated as a servant of the Roman conquerors. Now, I am Matthew, starting out to tell this southern world of his greatness. I can remember yet the day he stopped at my little office there on the lake shore. where at the moment I was collecting tax on a shipment of grain. Follow me, he said. And I knew that from that moment my life was his, to do with as he would.
And 10 years ago, I... But I cannot bear to think of that. When I knelt and wiped his stone-bruised feet with my hair, love for him filled my heart and drove all else from it forever.
He came into all our lives and transformed them. Here are the horses. Farewell, Peter. Farewell, Mary. Give my love to our other companions. And do not grieve for me if I follow him through the gate of death.
Farewell, Matthew. We will not grieve, for he has robbed death forever of its terror.
Farewell, my friend.
Farewell.
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 When he reached the Mediterranean, where his ship lay at anchor...
Who are you? Where are you going? Matthew is my name. What's in that bag? Ah. I see. Breadstuffs. Another merchant on his way to bring the blessings of civilization to the Egyptians, eh?
I am bringing the blessings of civilization to the Egyptians.
On to the boat with you, then. And good business attend you. Who's next here?
And when he arrived at the marketplace in Cairo...
Listen to me, ye people of Egypt. I am come from Jerusalem. I bring you tidings of great moment. The one and only God has lived in Jerusalem. He has walked the streets in human flesh. He has cured the sick, made the blind to see, raised the dead. I have seen these things who speak to you. I bear witness to the truth of these things. When he was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king...
Hey, you my friends. Let's go over to the other faker and tell fortune.
Wait! Turn not away, people of Egypt. Listen.
Oh, he's just another lunatic. Let's go to the bazaar.
Sir? Oh, sir?
Yes, my child?
I heard you preach.
Then you seem to have been the only one of all the population of Cairo who listened.
You spoke of a God who lived as a man.
I spoke of the one all-powerful God who graciously assumed human flesh, was crucified for our sins, died, and rose again from the dead to ascend into heaven.
Why did he do these things?
That he might redeem all mankind. And that by living among men, he might draw all hearts to himself.
Was he kind and gentle to all he met? Did he love little children? Did he pet the birds when they fell, beaten by storm from the skies?
All these things has he done. Why? Have you heard of him before?
All my life have I known him in my heart. All my life I have loved him. I knew not his name or where he might be found, but I knew he existed.
I have not found so great a faith in all Israel. Where is your home, child?
I live many days' journey out across the desert. My father is dead. I have a mother and 2 sisters. We have fig trees, and I bring figs by caravan into the city market. I return home at night. Oh, come with me, sir, and tell me more of this God. Will you come?
I will come.
Surely the Master would have me go to the ends of the earth to bring his word to a soul with such faith as yours. What is your name, child?
My father called me Ramesses in honor of the great king.
I shall call you by another name. The name of him the Master loved above all of us who were his followers. I shall call you John.
So, according to tradition, St. Matthew went on, deeper and deeper into the mysterious dark continent of Africa. Ever his voice rang out in the silence of forest and jungle, in the confusion of small villages, telling the great story of his Lord's life and death and resurrection. And the scattered tribes of dark-skinned people listened eagerly.
He was always kind. No crippled person, no one blind or ill or in trouble, ever appealed to him in vain. Even the lepers dared come to him, and he healed them.
May I speak, friend of the great master?
You may speak, my son.
We are not as the great people of Egypt. We are a despised people. Many of us have been sold as slaves in Cairo in the slave markets of Rome. Would this God of yours desire our loyalty?
He desires the loyalty of all the world. He knows no difference between races or colors. He looks not upon the outward bodies of men, but deep into their hearts and souls. Many of those whom he chose to follow him were outcast and despised by the world. He has died for us all.
He died? How?
On a day when the sky was darkened and the very earth trembled at such sacrilege, they nailed him to a cross.
Such a one your people nailed to a cross. Would he had come to our land that we might have made him king? Tell us more of his doings.
So he spread the message of the great gospel, and many heard it and believed, until at last...
Enter.
Why? It's John, my first convert. John, who was once called Ramesses for a Greek king.
It is John, dear teacher. And John very weary after the long search to find you.
Sit down, John. What brings you so far from home? At the season, too, when your fig trees require all your attention.
The desire to see you led me into the forest. But even more, the need to warn you.
To warn me? Of what?
That you are no longer safe in this place. It is true the people listen to you eagerly. It is true you have made many converts. Your fame has reached us at home, but it has also reached the authorities at Cairo, and they have sent word to the headmen of the tribes that you must be silenced. They are afraid that your preaching will incite the people to rebellion.
I have never preached rebellion.
Well, certainly not. As a Christian, I know what you have preached. But the authorities have not taken the trouble to learn, and they are afraid that a faith which teaches the people self-respect will unfit them for slavery. And further, there is a report in Cairo that a certain princess who heard you preach has looked upon you with favor and wishes to make you her husband.
Yes, that is true. I refused the offer, of course, trying to explain to the king, her father, that I was vowed to celibacy.
But kings don't take kindly the rejection of such royal office. Oh, Father Matthew, can't you see that you are doubly in danger? Leave this place. Come home with me as you did that day in Cairo. It is pleasant now at home, and the fig trees are purple with ripening fruits. And Mother would prepare for you all her choicest dishes. These people are only a race of slaves. Don't endanger your life for them. Please come with me and save your precious memories of the master for those better able to appreciate.
John.
Well, I'm only speaking as a friend and speaking sensibly. Don't be angry.
Forgive me if I spoke harshly. I was disappointed by your words. Long ago, when you were a mere boy, you knew in your heart much of the master. Even before I stayed in your home and told you of his life, John, would he have me leave these people now that they have begun to accept him?
Where?
Look into your heart, my son. Search your memory of all that I have told you. When he knew that his personal safety was threatened, did he desert his people?
No.
And what did he say one day of the good shepherd?
He said that the hired shepherd, who had no real interest in his sheep, would run away when danger threatened his flock. But the good shepherd, who owns the sheep, he would...
Yes, go on.
He would lay down his life for his sheep.
You have remembered well what I taught you. John, shall I leave this place?
Well, I dare not urge you to go. But, oh, my dear teacher, you are brave and strong.
I am brave only as he gives me bravery. I am strong only because he has shown me the example of strength. But let's forget the matter and talk of other things.
Here.
Did you speak?
No. I said nothing.
I thought I heard a slight sound. Like a movement or a whisper. Beyond the wall of this hut. The wind often makes such sounds in the bamboo trees. But no matter. I'm glad you're here. These isolated villages hold little opportunity for friendship. You were both my first convert in Africa and my first friend. For a time, I hoped that you would also be my fellow worker. Have you thought more of that?
Yes, I have a little. My elder sister is to be married shortly. There will be no great need of me at home after her marriage. Perhaps then... What was that?
I saw nothing.
Well, I thought I saw a shadow move there beyond the door of the hut. But I see nothing now. Oh, my teacher, you do not think perhaps the dear master himself would have you leave this place and do the same work elsewhere?
Once I ran away from duty. On that awful night, when the Lord was brought before Herod, and then before Pilate, and then back to Herod. All night in the hands of the rabble. All night, dragged from judge to judge, scourged and spat upon and reviled. The night when even Peter denied him, and we lesser followers scattered and hid like foxes before the hunter. But when he had proved the truth of all he had taught by rising from the dead, and when he had sent his spirit to us to strengthen and encourage us, I think fear left my heart forever.
Did he rebuke Peter for denying him?
Only with a glance. His eyes could say much in a single glance. The day he stopped and called me to follow him, It seemed to me those eyes, resting on my face, looked through it to my very soul.
And he said,
"Follow me," he said. "To me, an outcast, not even allowed to worship in the temple, because I extracted taxes from the nation for Caesar. You see why I cannot ignore these people, because they are, as you call them, a race of slaves?"
"Yes, I do see. Forgive me for my thoughtless words."
All of us whom he called were humble men. His dearest friends were among those whom the world regarded with scorn. Caesar selects the strong and proud to govern his empire. Jesus the Christ chose the weak and poured into them his own great strength. Long after Caesar's empire has crumbled into dust, the kingdom of Christ will remain."
"Oh, dear Father."
"A spear piercing my side as the spear pierced his. Waste no time looking for the one who threw it, my son. We have more important things to do."
"I will follow you in the work you have begun. I promise you."
"It is well. Then, before it is too late, I am the only one with the power in Africa. Will you make your confession and let me give you absolution? And, following that, your ordination as a priest? We must act quickly before the end comes for me. When it does come, grieve not at all for me. For tonight, I hope I shall look again into the all-compassionate eyes of my Lord."